any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Jesus, we come to you one more time. I'm asking, Lord, that you touch our hearts. Open our ears to hear. Help us, God, today to secure our love and a desire for you with a purpose of living for you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It was on a particular summer evening not so many years ago that a story is told of a group of teenage boys who had spent their day until the evening drinking and partying, when together they decided to take a joyride through the town. As the boys drove around laughing and joking as they raced around the corners and reached high speeds, cruising the streets, little did these young men realize just exactly where this evening of fun and excitement was about to take them. And little did they know that they were heading towards a destiny that none of them were ready to meet, for in just a flash of a moment, their evening of fun came to a screeching halt when the driver of that car drove straight through a stop sign at the bottom of a hill. As the car crossed the intersection, a van traveling in the opposite direction, it broadsided their car, causing it to roll and to be crushed upon impact, and then suddenly coming to a rest. In the distance came the sound of the sirens of the police and the ambulance, who arrived on the scene only to find how that in this night of so-called fun, 3 boys were dead and the 4th was hanging desperately onto his life, as it was they who now were rushed, who had rushed that young man to a nearby hospital. 4 young men. Just out for a night of fun, for what they thought. It was a night of fun, yet this night would only prove to have 3 of the 4 of them taken out of this life forever with no second chance to return. Here they were, victims of sin, victims of the consequences of sin, those who did not have to end up not only becoming a statistic, but they did. Souls whose destiny for all eternity was now to be lived by their spending their eternity in the fiery pits of a hot, burning hell. What I'm saying to you this afternoon is, when you die, it's not over with. When you pass through the corridors of this life into the eternal, your natural life will have expired, but it's your eternal soul that will now begin its eternity in its final resting place of your soul. With all of this, the hardest unfortunate reality that remained behind lied in the fact in concerns to the pain and to the heartache that their parents that were left with together as they struggled with the question of the if only. If only we could have been there. If only we could have stopped them. If only we could have known or could have perceived this tragedy, stopped it from happening, prevented it from occurring. If only they, the boys, could have been intercepted prior to the moment 3 of them raced off this world into an endless eternity, an eternity which offered none of them a chance to return. If only we could have got in their way and could have reached them before it was too late. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message I have titled, Intercepted on the Road to Hell. Intercepted on the road to hell. I want you to know this afternoon that similar stories of such tragedies, as well as the stories of the pain and the suffering of humanity, that they fill our newspaper stands almost every day. They fill them every day with stories, and they tell the tragic loss of life and the tragic consequences that people face, all because of the many wrong choices and the wrong directions, the wrong decisions that they make, that they in their lives chose to take when no one was there to stop them. Growing up as a young man, I remember many times, don't hang out with those people. Don't hang out with that person. I don't want you to go there. Just because I'm addicted to tobacco and alcohol, you don't need to do that. You need to live your life different. And so people try to stop us. People try to get in the way, and we laugh it off and we joke it aside, saying, you know what? I can live my life the way I want to live my life. It's up to me with what I want to do. People choose to take directions in life. They choose to make decisions in their life when there's nobody there to stop them. What it is I want to share with you this afternoon is how that this tragic loss of lives and the stories of tragic consequences that people face even unto this day, or as a result of wrong decisions, wrong choices, stories that not only happen in the light of the natural world, but such stories also occur in the world of the realm of the church. And concerns to people who too make choices and whose decision while living their life for God have caused them to go astray. Well, I don't need God no more. I don't need to bother with church. I don't have to read my Bible. I'd rather read the newspaper or a magazine. I don't have to do that, and I know what they want me to do, but I'm not going to listen, and I really don't have to. Who are these people? Who are these? These are victims of sin. They are those who have become the victims and will become victims of the consequences of these choices, of their sin. Victims who, if only were they who were intercepted prior to their end, they whose destiny is now set for them, an eternity will be one where they take their place in that place called hell. I want you to know today that hell is not a fairy tale. Hell is a reality. And many unfortunate souls will one day end up there. As the Bible declares in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." I never wanted to go there. I didn't plan on that happening in my life, but my choices, my decisions took me there. If only we could have reached them, if only we could have steered their lives in the opposite direction, run from that, get away from that. That's not the life you want to live. That's not the end you want your life to come about. If only we could have presented them better choices in their lives, if only we could have not been so blind as to the direction that their soul was heading in. For now, the choice of their eternal soul's destiny has been made for them because of what they chose. I was involved for a while there in the working amongst the funeral industry with Brother Wilson, did some pickups, and I did some cremations, and I attended some funerals. And there's countless people sit there and tell you that this didn't have to happen. They, you know, it's so sad. They were so young. It was crazy. They shouldn't have been speeding on that gravel road. They should have paid attention and not reached down for that CD as their car veered into the oncoming lane. I wish we could have just stopped them. I wish that things could have been different, but there they were. There they lay. There they are at their celebration of life. There, as a young person, middle age, and even the old. They made their decision. They chose their direction. See, hell is, and it was never to be a destiny to be theirs nor ours. It was meant, the Bible tells us, for the devil and his angels. As for humanity, waiting for them, for us, is a promise of another kind of a destiny. A destiny where they and we included can become the ones who walk on streets of gold. And to be able to spend our eternity with the God who loved us enough to die for us on that hill called Calvary. But it is, and it was they, and it could have been some of you, some of us today, who could have ended up and suddenly and tragically becoming a soul who too would spend their eternity in a hot, firing, burning pits of that place called hell. I was 21 years old and I had a really fancy blue car and I thought I had the world by the tail, and I went out in a similar fashion with a couple of young men and we partied it up and we drank it up and we did stupid stuff and we added drugs to the concoction of the mix of what we were doing, and I ran out of cigarettes, and so I told them, well, we're going to go to the store about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we're heading to the store, and we thought we'd be funny, and there's these people walking on the side of the road, and we yelled something at them, and they, one of them put their middle finger up, and the guy in the back seat smacks his seat, said, hey, let's give them a scare. So at 60 kilometers or 40 miles an hour going down the Burnett Highway, I just took my steering wheel like this, because I was not in this world already. I was in another one, and I just spun it. I didn't slow. I didn't stop. I didn't look if there was somebody coming. I just spun it. And the road went up into the sky, and then the road came down from the sky. And then it went this way, and they're screaming in the back, what do you think you're doing? And then I blacked out, and we jumped the curve, and I hit a telephone post, like a light post. And as we came to a stop, I sheared it right off, and we got out of the car. We came to, and we went running. There's another story that could have been. I could have been one that night. The tow truck driver said, you know what, kid, he goes, I was only 21 years old. He said, you're so lucky. He said, if you'd have sheared it off just about another inch and a half over, he said it would come right through your roof and it would have killed you instantly dead. I didn't have to go there. I wasn't planning on going there. Nobody died in that accident. We all walked away. But the difference could have been so much different. Thanks be to God that we, that I and you, were or can still be intercepted. This eternal destiny called hell, I want you to know, is a destiny that is not prejudiced against a person's age, their race, their family background, nor will a person's status in life be or become a deciding factor of whether or not they or you go there one day. I don't care who you are, where you come from, how old you are, how young you are, what life you live, who your parent, doesn't matter. This particular destiny is one that accepts all who make wrong choices in their lives, and that I might add, prior to the opportunity of having the chance of being intercepted on that road that I'm referring to called hell. They have a chance. They have a choice. They don't have to go there. It's a choice as to positions that all of us will face and concerns to what our eternity will offer to us. I want you to hear me today, church friends. Nobody likes to talk about that place called hell. Preachers, pastors alike, well, they'll skim over the subject of hell. Why? Because this destiny called hell is one that brings with it a harsh and a cold, unwanted reality. I don't want to hear about that. Tell me about current times and tell me about the pretty day and the sunshine and the lakes and going fishing. Don't tell me about that. Don't tell me that I've got two choices in my life and one can be made for me or they both can be made for me, but I'm going to go one way or another. The subject of hell is not one that fills church houses, even though in the face of God and that of a soul's eternal resting place, the subject of hell and the opportunity of being intercepted prior to your meeting up with such a destination, as well as the thought of your spending your eternity there, is one that every soul on the day that Jesus finally returns will face. And once your destiny as a result of your choices in this life has been chosen by you, I want you to know how many there are going to be that remain, that there's not going to be another chance, that there's not going to be another choice. There's not going to be another way to choose. I want to exchange this. I'm standing before God in that great white throne, and I lived my life for whatever I wanted to do, or maybe I lived my life for God. Can I trade with Him? Can I trade with her? Can I trade with them? Do I really have to go this way? It's too late. This decision will be made. Is people who end up in hell, do they end up there just by choice? Maybe it was they who ended up in hell because someone failed to stop them. They weren't stopped. Somebody didn't reach them in time. Maybe it was just they who in their lives are ones who wantonly, recklessly chose not to allow themselves to be intercepted. Hey, listen, I don't want to live my life for God. I just want to live for my life for me, for myself. That's what I want to do. Leave me alone. Take your Bible thumping and go somewhere else. And in the face of this life choice now being made without they or even you maybe in your life fully comprehending your choice, but what awaiting to meet them and or you at its coming is going to be a destiny because you refuse to be intercepted. It'll be one that will cause they as well as the likes of some of you to find yourself facing an eternity that you never planned on facing. I thought that was a fairy tale. I thought that was just a funny book. You, my friend, will arrive at the place of your destiny forever in that place called hell. There won't be turning around. There won't be coming back. There won't be other decisions and choices. Intercepted on the road to hell. You see, it's we who can read the story how that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God become flesh, willingly walked up Golgotha's hill, and he allowed himself to be nailed to an old rugged cross so that through his sacrifice, he could one day be the one to intercept us. Stop and don't go that way. I don't want you to go down that road. I don't want you to be lost. Stop! Look at the sign. I want to intercept you. I want you to go this way. Follow me. Jesus' purpose, his desire to redeem us, those whose destiny, those whose direction in life would cause them today or one day to be forever lost. That's why he came. I don't want you to be lost. Sin is what separates you from your God. Living in and partaking in the pleasures of sins are what will become that which hinders any chance of your being intercepted. As it's you who races towards your destiny. It's like getting on an escalator. We all think it's cool. And if you go into the airports today, the modern escalators, it's like a walkway and you step onto this and you hold the rail and that'll rush you to your next destination from one point to another. You don't have to go up. The stairs don't have to go and then disappear. It's like a runner and it just keeps going. And here we are in life. We're just going. When is it going to stop? When am I going to be stopped? What's going to happen? Hey, I'm having a good time. I'm partying. I'm rocking and rolling and just living wantonly. Hey, it's great. And suddenly the escalator stops and there you are facing eternity. I want you to know that you don't have to be a wild drinker or smoker. You don't have to be a murderer or rapist to one day end up on that road that leads to hell. Oh, it's a bad people that go. So let's just say I'm a 11-year-old boy and you're a 13-year-old girl. And so I go in my parents' room and I took 25 cents off of the dresser because I wanted to buy a couple of bubble gum. And you walked into the convenience store, walked into the shelf, and you took the chocolate bar and stuck it in your pocket. You can answer this for yourself. Who's the thief? You were. You took the chocolate bar. You both were. You stole the quarter. You stole the chocolate. You're both thieves. You're both wrong. You don't, young person, you don't have to wait until you're all grown up before the choices and the directions in life that you choose to take are they which can become for you the ones that make an eternal decision for you. That's 21 years old. Got kicked out at the age of 17 and went wild. Thank God I was intercepted at the age of 22. Thank God I didn't end up in an overdose. Thank God I didn't end up in some hospital not realizing anybody because I blew my brains out on the drugs and the alcohol that I was partaking in. Thank God I didn't die in that car wreck. Thank God I didn't end up in a prison cell. As a child of God or even a sinner, all you have to do is turn your back on the God who reaches out to you with nail-scarred hands. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is allow yourself to follow and to believe the lies of the devil as it becomes he who leads you down that path towards your eternal demise.
And come on.
It's okay. You'll get by. Look at, they're all getting by. You'll be fine. The story that has never left the conscious mind of this preacher was a story of that my wife had told me when they were all graduating. There was a young boy in the class, and this young boy, he didn't drink. He didn't drink like everybody else, and so they went to a party, you know, and it's all going to be fun, and he was just a little, you know, a homie kid, you know, just a little pansy, whatever you want to call him. He was just, you know, just a guy that didn't do anything wrong, and so they coaxed him, and they chided with him, and finally, come on, have a drink. So he caved to the peer pressure, and he took a drink at his graduation at the age of 18, and he died that night because he had a severe allergic reaction to alcohol he didn't even know that he had. He died just because it was a chance to drink, be part of the crowd, just do what they do, you'll be fine. They went on with life, and he died in that home. He went on to an eternity he didn't expect to meet, and they still had a chance to be intercepted on theirs. In the book of Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, in the Old Testament, verse number 15. Isaiah 28, verse 15, Isaiah declares, because you said we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge, which is the curse, shall pass through, you say, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I believe what the prophet Isaiah is saying here to the people. He says to the people who choose to believe the lie that says that they can live any old way that they want to, and they can flaunt their sins and their rebellion in the face of God, and they can believe that they'll get by. They are those who fail to understand the fact that they are literally walking down a road that one day will lead them, might even be leading some of you, straight towards and into the mouth of the eternal destination called hell. See, sin's deception equals sin's eternal demise. I thought I could do this. You know, when I was a young boy, I think I was 13 years old, and never smoked before. I was a goody two-shoes. That's the word I was looking for before. Just goody two-shoes. And I thought, well, I'll just have one smoke. I'll just drink one beer. One little bit of hard liquor. That'd be okay. I'll walk away from it. I didn't realize I was going to stop at 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. I didn't realize that I was going to get alcohol filament scars on my liver. And that if I didn't stop drinking, I wouldn't have seen my 27. I didn't realize this. I thought, you know, just one. Just give it a try. Just come on down that road. And here's the devil going, come to me and stay away from him. I want you to know, those of you that claim to be in the church today, those of you who've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, those of you who've been baptized in Jesus' name, those of you who might say to yourself, you know, a message like this, Pastor, it's not for me. I want you to know that you might not realize that it is maybe that little secret sin or that little something that you are, you might be doing or allowing in your life, that maybe all you need to be doing to cause you to end up on that same road as those who are living on the outside of the will of God for their lives, heading towards a destiny that many a lost soul in this world are heading towards. You've heard this before, some of you today. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay, and sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. I believe there come those times in your life when God desperately tries to reach you, to deal with you, and to push you away. And you push him away, pardon me, and you justify your sin, saying to yourself, you know what? What I'm doing, it's going to be okay. And while it's you that's sinning and sneaking and doing these things, you think, I'm okay, there's really no problem. I can get by with this, what I'm doing, because nobody knows. And you're right. Nobody does know, maybe, but God. You might fool the pastor, you might fool your parents, you might fool your spouse, but you won't fool God. Because nobody gets by. No one gets away with their sin. The Bible declares in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is, unless by the mercy of God that it is your soul that is intercepted on that road that leads to hell. Stop! I was diverted. I was changed. I want you to hear me today as God who time and time again, I believe, tries to warn you, maybe us, whoever I'm talking to you today, as it's you throughout your life who runs, it's He who throughout your life tries to intercept you, even when you willingly stray away from the paths of righteousness, even when it's you who unknowingly finds yourself heading for a destiny you never believed in. You wouldn't believe that it's going to meet you one day at your coming. I don't think it's true. I don't have to believe it. I'll close my eyes. It'll go away. But it won't. God in His mercy and His grace seeks to intercept you. God is the one crying out, stop and don't go that way. That's not the destiny I chose for you. Don't be fooled and make the foolish choices in your life. Your destiny for yourself. I'm trying with all my mercy and grace to intercept you. To stop you. It's you who's moving headlong. Self-willed towards hell. In the book of Jude chapter 1, just before Revelation, Jude chapter 1 verse 23, the writer writes, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. What does that mean? Intercepting them. Stopping them. To intercept, I was going to share this with you, it means to stop, to catch, to divert whomever it is that God is reaching for. Maybe it's your pastor reaching for you. Maybe it's your parents who are trying to stop you. Maybe it's your spouse is trying to stop you before it's you who steps off this plateau of life and then is thrust right into the mouth of a hot, dirty, burning place called hell. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. Jesus, in the Bible, in the Gospel, says how he'll leave the 99, and he'll go, and he'll search for, and Jesus will attempt to reach, and his desire to intercept those who strayed, those who had, or maybe have allowed themselves to be drawn away from the safety of the shepherd's fold. I believe it was Jesus in the Gospels who said, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks under her brood, but you would not. I don't want to be stopped. I want to do what I want. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. I believe Jesus will reach for those who become victims of sin. He'll reach out to those who have fallen prey to the lies of the devil. Before it's you who makes your final plunge into the darkness, into that suffering of eternal torment. Not for a week, a day, a month, a year, but forever. I wish this message that I'm sharing with you today was just a scare tactic. I really do. I just wish it was just a boo. I wish that the option that we face in concerns to the two destinies was not something that has to or will have to be made, if not by us, then for us. The message this afternoon is nothing short of a glaring truth, of a reality that every man, woman, boy, and girl will one day face. What it is I want you all to know and to hear loud and clear is, whether you're somebody who has never known God, whether you're one who has allowed your life to fall away from that first love, if you're the one who's drifted, if you're the one who's allowed the world to come back into your life, if you're the one who remains a victim to the vices, to the addictions of this world right now, right here, today, Jesus, I believe, is the one who through this preacher, through this message, is calling out to you in a desire to intercept you. As it's you who is one standing before the choice of two destinies. You see, it's you today who lays mortally wounded on this battlefield called life. If you're the one who's feeling trapped and imprisoned in this world, as you who travels down that road of life, knowingly or unknowingly, is the one who's walking down that road will lead you to your eternal destruction. I want you to know that your great God up in heaven It's He who's looking down upon you right now in this place today. It's He, God, who is prepared to use whatever means He has to in order to try to intercept you before you end at the purpose and place of this road, and you step off into that endless abyss. 1 Peter, I think it is, 3 and 9 tells us how that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. How easy is it for we as humanity to forget the price that was paid, the blood that was shed in order for us to be able to one day obtain favor or to have the chance in our lives to be intercepted, be ones that God intercepted as we traveled down that road. As I ran the corner, I could stand up here today. I want to tell you and tell you story after story how God, time after time, was the one who stepped into the lives of men, women, boys, and girls at the most critical juncture of their lives. God had intercepted them moments before their lives were taken, moments before they found themselves flung into the depths of an eternal destination called hell. He stopped them right there. He stepped in the doorway. He stepped in their life. He met them in that hospital and He turned their life around. He stopped them before they ended up in a funeral home. I want you to hear me today. You would not be here. You could not have the opportunity to worship God if it was not for Calvary. You could not have had your chance to experience the power of God's love if God would not have intercepted you as it was, maybe as you who teetered between the eternity of heaven and hell. If it wasn't for God. Never being able to feel what you could feel as you kneel at a Pentecost altar as it's you cries out for God to forgiveness and you receive it. Being given the chance of having your sins washed away in baptism in Jesus' name. Receiving the Holy Ghost evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue. If God even today was not the one trying to intercept you, maybe it is He who's trying to stand in your way. In closing today, many of us are here, and that are here today, could testify how our families were kept together. We could tell you how we were delivered from every form and type of cesspool of sin that the devil ever concocted. Today, there are some who could testify how that you were set free when you yourself were intercepted on that road called hell. I believe it's God who calls out to the saved. I believe it's God who calls out to the unsaved. Never allow your life to drift away from the shores of your salvation. If you're not found in a saved condition today, I believe God's saying to you, stop. Let God intercept you. I believe there could never be a better time. Maybe there's never come a time your way where maybe even on this very day, but the opportunity of your sins remitted, your destiny turned around right here, right now, today, as you're walking down that road. It's God today, friends. He's the one who offers you the opportunity and the chance of bearing the testimony of the redeemed, the testimony of those who in their lives could declare, I was intercepted on that road to hell. I don't believe anybody has to leave this place today unsure of your eternal destination. I don't believe you have to walk out of this place without a chance of your receiving from God something that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. As we stand together, God is the one who wants to change your life's direction, your course. God is the one who desires to both define and then to redefine your hope and your calling. It's God today who the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20, who stands at the door and He knocks. I want you to know, if you forget this entire message that I just preached to you, I want you to remember this. God wants to intercept you. When the time has come in your life, maybe some of us need to stop running away from God and do what God wants us to do by committing our life to Him. Would you let God intercept you today? Would you allow God and the Spirit of God to divert you, to bring you back to maybe where you need to be? I'm going to open up this altar, and I want anybody here today who's willing to come and spend some time before God and just say, God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me. Thank you for intercepting me. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for saving my life, God. I'll never forget what you've done for me. Why don't you come? Don't be chickens.
I'm nothing on my own.
Just come talk to you.
I make mistakes. I've often slipped. Just common flesh and bone. But I prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me. Yeah. Thorns upon his hand, blood was on that old purple robe that stained it a crimson red. And though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead. And the pain. that should have been mine. Those rusty nails were meant for me, but Jesus took them and let me go free. And I should
saying, I'm going to intercept you, Tristan. I'm going to change your pathway.
Yes,
I'm going
Lord.
To
hallelujah.
Put you in that path
Lord.
Towards glory.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Flee the things of this world and grab a hold of the horns of an altar and say, God, I want
yes,
you to intercept
Lord.
Me. I want you to forgive me. Help me to live my life for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.